Greetings, children of the solstice. Gather around the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Pat Monahan from Train wrote these lyrics to the tune of Heart and Soul. Hey, Mr. DJ, when you gonna spin it? My baby's favorite record, she's been waiting for a minute. She's invited all her friends, and I'm buying all the rounds. And they're all dolled up, DJ, please don't let me down. The witches talk about DJs this week, their history, evolution, and true crime stories of DJs and radio hosts. And now, Shelley, Lisa, and Daryl.
Hi there, and welcome to another Witchy Wednesday. This is the podcast Good Witch, Bad Witch, and we are your hosts, Shelley Majors, the Good Witch.
Hello, ho.
And Daryl Brown, the Man Witch.
Two ends.
And I am Lisa Brown, the Bad Witch. I am so glad to see that you guys are here today to, you know, just listen to us and have a good time. This is going to be a episode about DJs, all different kinds of DJs. And I just want to say before we get there that if you are listening right now, which you are, because why would
you? Thank you for listening.
Yeah, that would be weird if you weren't and it was just ESP.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. But pause right now, go to Apple or Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts and give us a 5-star rating because that's where the algorithm sees us and that's how they put us at a higher ranking. So if you haven't done that yet, do it now. That would be awesome.
Yes. If you write us a colorful, positive review, we might read it online.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's right. Ooh. We might sleep with it next to our pillow.
We yes. will.
People like me.
Yeah. That would be a great idea. Actually, let's get one now. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, Shelley, this is her show, not the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's, well, whatever. It's she made up this show, which is the DJ's show. Yeah. And so she's going to explain it to us.
I will. So DJs, typically, it came from the word disc jockey. I think it was in the 50s. Alan somebody coined it. I'm not sure. I found something today that said it was from 1935. Oh. But in the 50s, they were popular because when you listened to the radio, because there weren't MP3s and CDs and cassettes and all the other things, there was somebody that was picking the songs and playing them for you and talking in between and saying who it was. So for those of you younger than 40, I guess, that's what a DJ is. But there's so many different kinds. And so when I was thinking about DJs, because I hate them right now, for instance, like, I'm not going to go to a club right now.
No. Oh, God.
You know, like, when we went out dancing and stuff when we were younger, Paul Italiano, local DJ, he would play stuff in our age range. So, like, let's say in the 90s, he was playing stuff from the 80s. So, like, The Cure and Susie and the Banshees and all that other stuff, like, on records at Milk Bar and that sort of thing. That sounds fun to me. But what's happening now, it's like most clubs, like club DJs, there's violence, there's shootings. Half of them are closed down downtown. Everybody's, well, half of them are underage. It's just bad news, and it goes on way later than I care for. And it's too loud, and turn that damn yah-yah music down. I don't like it.
Well, that's, I mean, that's like, it's weird because that it, I just feel like it must be an age thing because when I think of DJs, I'm thinking of, you know, like Wolfman Jack and people yes. that are on the radio and people, you know, or whatever. And now, like, a DJ isn't somebody who's like, you know, or Howard Stern, you know, even is a DJ. And it's like, you know, this is the next song we're going to play, blah, 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 blah. And now it's like, I'm somebody who gets up and just says, wiki, wiki word.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, that's where definitions come into play and stuff, because I thought the same thing. It's basically people that guided you through the radio experience, and we'll get to other kinds of DJs later. But now radio DJs is a computer and also is pre-programmed and stuff. But there's morning personalities or people that do, before podcasts came out, there's radio personalities that hosted shows.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about some of those guys.
Yeah.
If we could. So one that kind of crosses both those lines, the most famous one of all in my mind, Casey Kasem.
Oh, yeah.
So he created the Top 40 show, and then it was on Sundays for many, many years. And he would not only just play the Top 40 that were on the Billboard Top 40 of the songs, but do long-distance dedications, which I thought was really cool. Do you guys want to guess when that show came out?
Okay, yes. I'm going to guess 1980.
I'm going to say 1982.
1970.
He's doing the top. God, he's got his feet on the ground and his head in the clouds that long?
That's wow. right. And didn't you guys used to take your double cassette thing?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, so you would tape the song from mm-hmm. that, and then you could tape it to another tape to make a mixtape yeah. for your friend or your fella or whatever.
And then you wanted to be your fella. The DJ.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, it was so good. Other famous DJs that maybe I don't necessarily listen to, but maybe you didn't put them in that little pot, Robin Quivers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
huge radio personality, even besides the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these pre-podcast people that would go on and tell stories, and they had their own shows. Dan Patrick is the most famous one for sports.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nationwide. Ira Glass, I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he says his show is This American Life.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how does it end? It's like, and that's the real story. Yeah. Something
Paul,
like that.
Was that Paul Harvey?
Paul Harvey to have that tagline.
Yes, at the end, yeah.
And Garrison Keillor did that, you know, where he was doing the storytelling serials from the small town and yada, yada. So those are all radio personalities. Would they be DJs? They're not playing music, so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just call them radio hosts.
Radio hosts.
Okay. But my favorite local DJ that is alive and still operating, and I'm curious about you guys, do you know who Dom Testa is?
It sounds familiar.
So he did the Dom and Jane show on Mix 100 for 32 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so they would have all these games in the morning on your morning drive. And when I was working in Boulder, you know, I had a 30-45 minute drive. And so I just loved listening to them. That was so great because you could play along, you could call in, you could win prizes. I don't think anybody does that anymore.
No, that's what I was going to say. They took the fun out of it as being a DJ because you used to call and make a request. Hey, will you play the song? It's my girl's birthday today or something.
Yes.
You know, they'd come back. Hey, Daryl from Westminster would like to hear blah, blah, you know.
Then, exactly. Yeah, like
it's all computerized now. All they do is the DJs walk in, they may talk a little bit, and then they go click, sit back, click, we're back. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
It's so sucky.
If there's even a person in the room.
But we listen to KYGO, and they do this game called, what is it?
Let's Beat Tracy.
Let's Beat Tracy.
Can you beat Tracy?
And so you have to answer five questions.
Pop culture.
And so different pop culture questions, which I'm like, now that's still fun.
Tracy and Fizz. They're the morning people. Yeah.
Maybe and Morning Drive still has people on it.
Yeah, I think a little bit.
She gives you $100 of her own money if she can beat you.
Whoa.
But her record is like 867 to 13 or something.
She beats everybody.
So, yeah.
She gets you hold on to her cash.
Yeah. Me and Lisa, we play it in the morning when we're driving to work. And we're like, we beat her. I'm like, why don't we call in?
Yeah.
And the day we call in, they'd be like, what square times? And what?
Yeah. No,
My buddy Dom Testa, he splits his time between Colorado and Georgia, interestingly enough.
Oh.
I found out. So just like us, you don't really have to be in the office to work.
I just want to say one thing in the research that I did.
Yes.
I had read that they don't do the requests anymore because all of the 10 to 12-year-old girls who would call repeatedly in the Arvada area with red
name
hair.
Rhymes with Shmisha Shmavich.
Yeah. And just call and request
and
a Wellie song
Majors over
for every single person
they're like,
they've ever
this
known.
Bitch again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was in my research.
They're like...
On that... Oh, go ahead.
Then they're like, we got a new one. This girl Karen's calling in.
Yeah, exactly.
On behalf of Shmisha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Brian in his little small town in Nebraska, they had one radio station for like the little three towns all around it or whatever it was. He lived in Wisner, Nebraska, and which coincidentally was a town right next to Karen's mom's teeny tiny town.
Crazy.
Yeah, Cougar Band. But anyway, so the one little radio station, they would play the roller skate music too.
Oh,
so they just tuned it into that radio station at the roller rink. And so you could call from a landline and be like to the radio station, I'm at the roller rink. I want to slow dance with Debbie. Let's do this.
That's awesome.
So cute. I want to hear some Journey. I want to hear some Air Supply.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to skate backwards.
That's right. Can
you? That's amazing. Not anymore. I used to be able to.
I know you could. You're awesome.
I can't skate forwards anymore. What are you talking?
So there's all kinds of different DJs, strip club DJs. Daryl can speak to that. I could speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really any better than anybody. Probably a great deal worse, I would say, because they pretty much work for tips.
Yeah. Well, see, because I was a doorman and a DJ, kind of, you know, did both. But I knew which girls, what they wanted to hear.
Right.
And the other DJs were kind of dipshitty. They played what they wanted to hear.
Oh, that's dumb.
And I'm like, no, this girl loves this. So I put that on, and they'd start, they'd look at me, off. These guys couldn't understand, how come you're getting tips so much? I'm like, because I'm playing what they want to dance to.
And they're making them more money.
Yeah, and the guys are enjoying what they're dancing to. I go, not everybody wants to dance to Metallica into, you know, whatever.
So, no.
So if you put, okay, so let's say you're DJing at a strip bar and you're
in the 90s.
In the 90s. And a girl, so did you, were you just like, and next up, Cinnamon and Pour Some Sugar on Me? Or did you like.
Why aren't you a stripper DJ? You are perfect, man.
Now I'm hungry for Cinnamon too. I know.
That's her last name.
And I want to pour some sugar on me. Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's exactly. And then that was
Yeah.
But you weren't like.
So you'd introduce them for their first song, and they usually dance to three songs.
Okay. Would you say the names of the songs between?
No. You just play. I go right into the next song, so they keep dancing. But yeah, you introduce them to the first with this first song.
Oh, and then you're like, thank you, Cinnamon. Next up is Peppermint.
Yeah. Coming on stage two is Cinnamon Sister Twistier.
Lisa's hungry.
Yeah.
Depending on the club.
Did you say what stripper
stage it was, right?
Yeah.
Was there only one stage at the place? Or?
No, we had three stages. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Stage one.
Yeah.
We have Paprika.
So, okay, I'm sorry, I'm being stupid, but I really want to visually picture this. So if you have three stages, three girls are all coming on at the same time. One, mm-hmm. two, three. So you're like, on stage one is Cinnamon, would pour some sugar on me. Stage two is Peppermint, and she's going to be dancing to the Wax
and Trick. I don't think you ever said the name of the song.
Whoever was on the number one stage, that's who got to pick the music. The other girls rotated. So when Cinnamon was done and Peppermint, Snops comes over and gets on the stage one.
Yeah, three songs were going on at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, where does Chewbacca stand?
Like Cream to Mint back here.
That makes sense.
So yeah, sure. The number one stage was the one that always you wanted to pick their music, you know.
Okay, so I just need more. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead. This is crazy.
So Cinnamon's on one, Peppermint's on two, and Chewbacca's on number three.
Yeah.
Now, when the three songs are over, do all three of them go in the back, or does Peppermint go to one? It's like, or like you're paying Foursquare, and then she goes up to one.
You know, it just depends on the rotation and how many girls you got. If you're short on girls, you're gonna have to rotate those girls. So yeah, that one would get down. And if you had like a one in the bullpen coming up, get on stage three. Tawaka's sister, Tangeray.
Let's explain this in Lisa's language.
Yeah.
So it's like hockey. You got to get them off the ice.
Yeah. Yep.
I just was wondering how like long they had to be.
And if they
up there.
Accidentally lactate on you, they're going to the power box.
No, they're going to the... But how do you pick who's stage number one person? Do you pick it as the DJ, or do they tell you, Cinnamon's always the best?
No, the way it usually worked is you wrote down your girls, and then so you'd say, okay, you're going to be on stage one, stage two, and then just... It would go like that. Just rotate around.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just know if stage one was like the best one, and then you put the best girls on there, and so they fought in the back.
No.
About like, they're like pulling out each other's weaves.
Probably. Maybe depending on where you were.
Yeah.
But so, Daryl, when you were DJing there, did you have a laptop, or was it like a rotating CD disc changer? Was it a jukebox? Was it a cassette?
We did have a cassette, but mine was two
turntables and a microphone.
I wish that would have been the shit. No, mine was two compact disc deals.
Okay.
So that, and then I just would switch channels. So if I was on channel one, and then I had this prepped up ready to go, and then just switched over to channel two, faded out.
It got you ready for your future.
It really did.
In the broadcasting biz.
You did say, I mean, sorry we're going off too much on the strip bar thing.
It says too much.
It's so interesting to me. But there was that one, the paper tiger that the girls had to ask the guys for coins.
They just had a jukebox.
Yeah.
They'd say, do you got a quarter? I'm like, what? And so I can play a jukebox. What song do you want to hear? I'm like, oh God, I used to die laughing every time.
See, that's what, yellow ribbon.
You would think that they would just keep a pocket full of quarters themselves.
Sure.
But then, what stripper has pockets?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
what if she gets to whipping on the pole? There's just her quarters flying everywhere.
Maybe I should invent that. That'll be a new thing for Legends Boutique.
She's got one of those little
pockets.
Like the little green visor, like an accountant.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
That would probably be a pretty good gig. You know, so the gal would probably get pretty good tips.
Yeah. Okay, would you rather be a strip club DJ or wedding DJ?
Oh, God. You know, the funny thing is, you see about the same drama in both, I think, because everybody gets a little alcohol in them.
Yes.
But weddings, I think you would see, like, It's surprising, like brawl, I mean, fights and stuff, you know,
because alcohol, open
people
bar.
Get pissed. I was mad at our DJ because we told him we didn't want none of that at hokey dokey, you know, none of that stuff. We didn't want none of that. All of a sudden, that comes up and in a Kumo Matata or whatever, you know, I'm like, we said none of this.
The Lion King at your wedding?
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. We did have.
It was family.
Can you feel
family.
The love tonight?
Was one of our songs, but well, we didn't watch. Nice. Yeah, but Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, but remember that there was all kinds of weird stuff, and I'm like,
yeah,
so I went over and I go, dude, this is not. He goes, well, this is normal procedure for weddings, and I'm like,
this is my wedding, and
I go, I gave Jay a list of the music that I wanted played, right. And then he goes, oh, I never got that.
Well,
list.
That was the problem was that Jay, the one DJ started it. They did it for free, first of all.
So yeah, so
you get what you pay for. But the one guy started it and then had to go to another show, so he let the other guy finish it, and he never told the other guy what to do. So
gotcha.
I mean, it wasn't really his fault.
That's very kind.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Well, yeah. So, but yeah, I think a wedding DJ would be kind of kooky to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if it wasn't, you know, cut and dried every time. You know, you really, like, there are times where you need the energy to be way up, and there are times when you need it to be kind of, you know, romantic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to play the room pretty good. Like, okay.
Stabby.
Yeah.
Let's get the folks out on the dance floor and play some Hit 'Em Up by Tupac.
I think goodness. You'd be great at that, too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's fun. I wouldn't care. I'll do anything for money.
Yeah.
I mean, except for what we talked about earlier, which will end up being a show
later
in
life. Who knows?
But,
could be the rest of our lives.
It could be.
But yeah, the strip club thing, you get used to boobs. It's like,
that doesn't bother me.
No.
It's mostly, I would think, like you said, the drunk people and the drama and stuff like that. But, you know, I that's fine too.
When people run out of drugs, they get.
Weepy. Oh, yeah, I just did my last line. Where am I going to get more?
You're not getting any of mine.
Come back to the DJ booth.
That's right. Like, well, why don't you buy 6 shots? It's almost the same.
Right, yeah.
Do it.
That's funny.
DJs. Scandal. Hey, speaking of DJ scandal, you guys want to come back with DJ True Crime? Nope.
True Crime.
No. DJ True Crime, and then...
Yeah.
I jumped the gun.
Oh, go backwards.
I'm going to go backwards. Okay. Thank you, Lisa, for the rewind. Oh, you're kind of like a DJ. Like,
I am. DJ.
Yeah, she's good.
I forgot that I had funny DJ names.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
It was a part that I just made up. Okay, you guys ready? Okay.
Yeah.
DJ Screw died in 2000.
Oh. I wonder why. That's screwed.
Frankie Knuckles. Kind of sounds like a gangster.
Hey.
2014. He's no longer with us.
Oh.
The Magician. Hot since 82. Avicii, very famous.
Oh,
DJ.
Yeah, he is.
Died in 2018. Mm-hmm. Nathan Fake.
I didn't know Avicii died.
Yeah.
He choked on some cerveche.
Oh, that's just too poetic. Nathan Fake is dead. No, he's still around.
Are there any live DJs?
Yes, DJ McSpin.
Oh.
DJ Earworm.
Yeah.
Oh.
My favorite, Osama Bin Laden. DJ Booth and DJ Far Into Club.
Oh my gosh.
You know who I always liked?
Who?
DJ Tanner.
Who's that? On Full House.
Oh dear.
Oh my goodness.
That was a good. See, good ending.
I go, that's dumb. Well, just really fast. No. What about. Take it back. The MTV.
Oh,
the VJs.
Yeah, they were VJs.
Yeah.
Okay, but they were actually DJs back in the day because, what's his name? What was the black guy's name? Damn it.
J.J.
Jackson.
Yes.
He was a big DJ.
I think they were all, were they all?
Yeah, I think
DJs
they all were, but yeah, he was one of the, bigger known DJs out of all them, you know, that came on to the show.
Awesome. Well, can you name all 5?
Was it the five? Original
or
DJs?
6, yeah. J.J. Martha.
Martha Quinn.
Yep.
Nina Blackwood.
Thank you. And what did she say?
She said, wubba, wubba, wubba.
Nope.
No, that was...
She
Julie
said,
Brown.
That's one hot video.
Oh, yeah. And then Julie Brown.
Julie Brown.
And that's Wubba Wubba Wubba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Adam Curry.
I think you're correct. Mm-hmm.
Well, where the fuck did that come from?
Alan Jackson also. There were 2 Jacksons, I think.
Alan
the
Jackson.
The skinny, skinny blonde guy.
With the cowboy hat, he's saying.
Different Alan Jackson.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
VJs.
Yeah. But do you still have a favorite VJ?
Martha, for sure.
Okay.
But they,
I like Nina Blackwood.
Almost all of them still host on Sirius satellite radio.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Nina Blackwood still does her show.
And she sounds like she smoked a cotton of Marlboros
every morning. She's been talking for a long time.
Oh, that really hurts.
Okay. Okay, while Shelley takes a drink and lubricates her voice for this DJing, we will be back now with some true crime DJ times.
Well done.
You!
Scandal.
Hey, Mr. DJ, when you gonna spin it? My baby's favorite record, she been waiting for me. She invited all the friends, and I'm buying all the rounds, and they're all dolled up. DJ, please don't let me down. When you gonna play that song?
Hey there, welcome back, witches. Nothing is funnier than DJ murder.
True.
Oh, my goodness.
I shot the DJ.
With all due respect, of course. Some of them are DJs that were murdered. Some of them are DJs that murdered.
Oh.
I've got a mixed bag for you. Oh. DJ mixed bag.
That's awesome.
I like it.
Hey, oh, that should be your next name.
DJ mixed bag. What's your DJ name?
My name is, you tell me yours first. DJ mixed bag.
DJ Bad Witch is what I think.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
hey, check it out. This was a Dateline. I'd seen this one.
Ooh.
And when I was doing my research, I was like, oh, yeah, that fuck stick.
Yeah.
So the murder of Tiffany Jackson Pugh, P-U-G-H, in Atlanta. Her husband, DJ Andre Pugh, hired a hitman to kill her. And I remember this Dateline because he was so dumb. And he had her killed at their house, and their kids were home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that.
Yes, and he was, on his phone and trying to cover his tracks. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But then when he was doing shifty stuff like removing evidence or whatever, he knew exactly, of course, where all the cameras were, and he would just always be in the blind spot, and he was just a shady motherfucker.
So how stupid was he? Really?
He was the stupidest because he's in jail for the rest of his life.
Oh, good.
No parole.
Uh-huh.
Watch the Dateline just so you can watch dumb criminals, and I don't have to do it in a future episode.
Perfect.
Yeah. Do you have one? Do you want to rotate?
Oh, sorry.
You're good.
So let's talk about the notorious Stephen B. Williams of Stephen B. and the Hawk,
so
which
famous.
Was KPKE, mm-hmm. which in the 80s was my favorite.
Oh, that I loved KPKE.
Absolutely.
That was kind of like alternative rock before alternative was coined, wasn't it?
Yes, I
it
think
was like
so.
Hard pop, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like more direct, like new wave.
Yeah, they were one of those ones that changed their format, though, because when I was a kid in the early 70s, like 78 and 79, it was a hard rock station.
Really?
KPKE. Yeah, KPKE, and they had a kick-ass logo and stuff. Yeah. Okay. And then they changed to that. I mean, it was fine. I liked them both. But but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. On May 16th, 2006, a body was found in water.
It was off Catalina Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
I go
a body of water?
Yeah. It's called the ocean.
Thank you. I was going to say a river, and I knew it wasn't a river.
Was it an inlet?
A
dam river.
A creek? Yeah.
A creek, yeah.
So this body was found, and they didn't know who it was. And so they finally, on May 24th, were able to identify the body because the person whose body, because the body was like unrecognizable.
Decomposed. Yeah.
But because the body only had three fingers on, or I'm sorry, it was missing three fingers on one hand due to a woodworking accident in middle school.
Oh.
That's how they identified him. They identified him as Stephen B. Williams, who was the DJ Stephen B. and the Hawk from...
Well, Stephen B. Two Finger.
Yes.
I had forgotten about that identifier. Thank goodness. Or it would have never been solved.
Right.
Wow.
They said that... So after he had retired from being a DJ... He had inherited $2 million from his dad because his dad was really, really rich. And he wanted to be what he wanted to do pairings and with food and wine and become one of those kind of people. But he mostly just lived off his father's inheritance, although he was really kind of going through it really fast.
Oh.
And Shelley, I didn't quite get this part. Did he own the boat or did somebody else own the boat?
I didn't really understand that either. I had a feeling that he either rented it or it was his.
Okay.
But the man who ended up killing him had swindled him out of that money.
Right.
So I don't know if that was his lover or his friend or a stranger. So I didn't get all of that.
From what I remember of the Dateline episode, and then I read, it didn't say anything about a girl, but for some reason I thought there was a girl there too, like they were a couple.
Uh-huh.
And I know Stephen B. was gay, so I don't think that those two had anything to do with him romantically, but maybe. I don't remember. I saw the Dateline a long time ago.
Yeah, me but too. They both could have been in on the scam.
Yeah, but anyways, from the article that I just read, it said that on September 6th, Harvey Merrow, who was one of his friends who had not embezzled, but had scammed him out of all his inheritance and mm-hmm. stuff, was arrested for the murder.
And convicted, yeah.
And, well, he wasn't that. He was arrested on September 6, 2006.
Okay.
Was not, didn't get charged until November 2011, 5 years
what?
Later.
Wow.
And he was found guilty on murder in the first degree.
I wonder, during that, was he free on...
No, I think he was in jail
the whole time.
But it wasn't... they said that there was a whole lot of mishaps and stuff with the proceedings and stuff like that. So it was, but he eventually got caught So at least the killer was found and stuff. And yeah, he had a great
voice.
Well,
you'd think that they would have seen kind of a red light too. It says here, he also was directly depositing money into his own account from Stephen B's stuff. Yeah.
So that's another Dateline episode if you want to look it up.
And from all accounts, I think he was really a beloved DJ, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
How ironic that there would be wacky hijinks on a morning show DJ's sentencing of the bad guy.
Right.
Wacky hijinks.
Wacky hijinks.
Wow, that's a good one, Lisa.
Uh-huh. Do you have another one, Shel?
I do. So DJ Nando, he was gunned down outside his home in an execution-style killing, also in Atlanta. That was in 2014, still unsolved.
Oh.
So solve the mystery. Tell Ellen and Rabia, do they still do that?
No.
They are no longer together.
Not. Business. Okay.
Yeah, darn it.
All right. Here's another one on that note, if you guys, is it cool?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do.
Okay, DJ Ficky, F-I-C-K-E-Y, and it sounds so dirty. But it was initially ruled a suicide. It was in 2024, this very recently. He was a young father of three, and the family was convinced he was murdered not a suicide, because he was right-handed, and the shot that killed him was in his left cheek.
Oh.
Can you imagine killing yourself that way? I mean, no. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
And there was a love triangle, but anyway, supposedly he was a cute, beloved feller also. And, you know, not that they're cute matters. Everybody's cute. But still working. They're still investigating that situation. Why are DJs such a target?
I don't know. I don't know. It seems like the DJs nowadays are more
confrontational.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sound stereotyped, but it's like very in, you know, like
my group against your group.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But so I was doing some research.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman by the name of Jason Perry. He was a DJ, and he was murdered at the strip club in Colorado called Dandy Dan's.
No way.
Yeah. And this was in 2022.
Now, was he the DJ at the bar?
No. He was actually a DJ in San Diego.
Oh, and he
happened to be in Colorado and stuff. And they were looking for quite some time, for over a year, for, they knew who it was, but the kid was in hiding. I say kid because he's, you know, younger than me.
Sure.
But he, they were looking for 500 days, so almost 2 years.
Jeez.
For, so I'm lying. It was in 2021 where, when he was shot. And then Christopher Reed Hernandez was taken into custody on Friday. This was February. Oh, goodness. Okay, hi. Let me go back again and do this right. The shooting was in 2023. He was not arrested until February 10th, 2025.
Gotcha. So just very recently.
Very recently. That was almost 2 years later. The suspect has been arrested in connection with the August 2023 shooting death of Jason Perry, a Scripps Ranch resident who was killed in Denver, Colorado. Hernandez is wanted. It was wanted for first degree murder in the death of Perry, who was reportedly shot by the stranger shortly after the suspect was ejected from a club by a security guard. An arrest marks the significant breakthrough in the case and has remained unsolved for over a year and a half. So that's good because his little cute little mom was on. TV and she was really sad.
So she helped to.
No, I mean, she helped to put the awareness out there, but they were doing a lot more press in San Diego because he was famous there than they were doing in Colorado. Obviously, none of us had heard about it as far as I know.
No.
And stuff. And I'm very familiar with Dandy Dan's.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
I have so many questions. Uh-huh. So, okay. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if I'm traveling from any part of the world to Colorado. Where's the last place I'm going to go?
It's the tiger.
The Dandy Dan's or the Landing Strip. You know, yeah. So.
Well, I mean, go to the mountains, go to Red Rocks, take a walk.
Well, yeah, yeah. Ooh, they don't have boobies in San Diego.
We're not victim blaming.
No.
But
no,
if you want if you want a good strip bar, Dandy Dan's is not the one.
No, maybe he was looking for work.
I think they closed it up, didn't they?
That was like a black collar. It's just like,
it's dirty.
No, that's like a, it's not even black collar. That's a shit stained collar. You got poo-poo on your collar from those girls.
Dirty. Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with the girls, just the place itself.
Oh.
That Chappelle thing, even the girl gave him a lap dance.
Yeah.
And she rubbed her butt down the front of me. I had doo-doo stain.
No,
doo-doo.
Could you imagine? No. Well, no disrespect to him at all.
No.
I'm glad they found the killer.
Yeah.
You said they did. Okay, that's great.
Yep.
But again, Dandy Dan's. All the choices.
Of all the joints in the world, you could end it up.
Have you heard a John Denver song? Right. I mean, Rocky Mountain High.
That John Denver song that goes, oh, God, how does it go?
Going on down to Dandy Dan's.
Yeah, no, it's, it got me... Wife and I got me a little fiddle. I got a strip club calling Dandy Dan's Giddle. And I'm fiddle with my middle.
And a diddle in the middle.
Yep.
Very well done, Lisa.
Don't forget to tip your bartender.
The most famous one I remember is, you guys remember the Allenburg shooting?
Oh, yeah.
He was a very famous Denver radio host personality. And he was shot in his driveway in 1984. And he was very controversial, really liberal at the time. Well, I mean, you know, liberal means different things at different times, I guess.
Yeah.
But he was controversial. And he was shot down in his driveway by the white supremacist group called
The Order. Order.
That's right. He was only 50. And he was, you know, he had kind of a white bowl haircut at the time. And when we were kids, he seemed like he was 97.
Oh, God. His voice. I can still hear his voice today. That weird...
This is
Allenburg.
Yeah, this is going off the topic, but me and Erica were talking about this yesterday when I was doing her nails. If you guys have ever been to our karaoke show, she's the host, the ninja. And it's, you know, like we've talked about this before, the Golden Girls were younger than us.
Yes.
And stuff. And she called it, what did she call it? Because we talked about it last night. It's like something about... Because of the way that people used to dress, retrospective aging.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it's called.
Okay.
And because it's funny because I sent, after we had talked about it, you know how like your phone listens to you? I sent her this picture about all the people in the sitcoms. The Family Ties, mom and dad were only 35.
Whoa.
Roy Paynes.
Oh, okay.
32 and 38.
Yeah.
Tony Danza and Angela were 33 and 35.
Kiddos.
And Roseanne and Dan Connor were 36 and 36.
Dang.
And they seem so old. And well, so Alan Bird being 50, it's like, seriously, he seemed like he was 100.
You know, they've been playing that game for years, because Granny from the Hillbillies, the original Hillbillies, she was younger too. Yeah. And, you know, Buddy Epson at the time, they made him look older and stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I think they were probably only in their 30s, and they made him in their 50s and 60s. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just insane. Yeah.
Indeed.
But yeah, so yeah, they said that in the article I read that he was an atheist and he was very, very liberal, and like probably compared to today's liberals, he was nothing. But at the time, it was super controversial.
Right. But the point I think is, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're
is
fine.
The how dangerous it became to share your opinions rather than otherwise. And, you know, it was really shocking at the time. Stuff that isn't as shocking now because people are blowing up strangers, you know, in schools and churches, and it's all terrible. And I'm not belittling either way of that. But it was a direct impact of a difference of beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just seems so weird to me, even as a kid. I was like, what, we were 12, maybe?
No, 1984. 12 and 13, yeah.
And it's like, I just don't, even if your beliefs are offensive to me or whatever, it's just like, okay, fuck off. I don't care.
I don't need to yell at anybody. No reason to take another man's life,
Exactly.
And I don't know if these guys were trying to recruit him 12 times.
They were sending a message for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember, because this was a big, big story back in the day, and they had other radio stations. They would have them on, they'd have police at their at the stations, mm-hmm. and they would walk them in and out of the building to protect other DJs, because they were worried that these guys were going to go out and do more of a big hit of other personalities.
Two of the guys did get apprehended for it and stuff. So
yeah, and they got a crazy sentence, a good crazy sentence.
Yeah,
it was like 372 years or something.
Yeah,
wow, great. Good.
Yeah. Great. So when Howard Stern came about as a shock jock, was that early 90s, late 80s?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, because I think it might have been a little bit of a backlash.
Trying to think
of
who was the guy that was before
like,
him.
I'm not going to be afraid. I'll say whatever I want. Even though I don't think he's funny or agree with all of his views, I appreciate the bravery of it. And we should always live in a land of freedom of speech.
I think Howard Stern can be funny. I think some of this stuff was a little over the edge, but I think he's
I just admire his protection of the freedom of speech thing.
Yeah,
that's all. I think he's a jackass most of the time. And when I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking of throwing bologna at naked women. I don't love that.
No, I don't love that. Yeah, and I mean, it got kind of crazy, but there was some. I mean, like, okay, let me put it this way. The whole fart man, like when he went over the top, dumb.
Yes.
But if you read his book or saw Private Parts, it was actually very interesting. He became... his show became on the air in 1985.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, around the same time.
Thank you for reminding me about the book. It was kind of poignant, wasn't it? Wasn't he really in love with his wife?
He was divorced now, so there's that.
But at the time, they were like childhood sweethearts. Yeah. I think he was really kind of cuckoo about her.
Yeah, he was. And I mean, it comes down to the fact that a lot of everything is an act.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, you know, I mean, Lady Gaga is not the crazy Lady Gaga she was when she wore the meat suit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. She's very shy. Uh-huh. She's very, she's humble, and she's, you know, she needed, everybody needs a shtick. And
yeah, something to get you through the door.
I mean, look at Madonna with her sex book, and she was taking pictures in the middle of the street naked.
Right.
We all looked.
Sure.
You know, there was, you know.
I still do.
I flip through that thing
every now and again.
I just look at it for the articles.
Yes. And stuff. But that's, I think that it just shows you, like, even, I mean, Alan Berg was very, I mean, he sat on his laurels, you know, and stuff. He really, really believed in what he believed in, and, you know, God bless him, and stuff. I think Howard Stern was more of a mockery of himself.
Right.
And stuff. And so it was his shtick.
Yeah.
Do you remember the DJ that he surpassed? Because he was, like, the biggest DJ at NBC. And then Imus.
Imus.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
he
was the shock jock.
He was the shit. Yeah, he was the guy. Uh-huh. That, and then here comes along Howard Stern and just knocks it out of the park. And this guy's like... Well, I think I already did that. And they're like,
I'm Googling this while we're talking.
Okay.
And it said Howard Stern made his broadcast on Sirius on January 9th, 2006 on Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
That's almost 20 years ago, you guys. That doesn't seem like, it doesn't seem like he's been off the air, off the mainstream
air for very long.
For that long.
Yeah, but boy, the deal he got to go to them, was a hefty deal.
He's worth a lot. I mean, that's the first thing that comes up when you, is like, what's his net worth on Google?
What is it?
That's a good question. It is $90 million.
Whoa.
That's his salary.
Yeah,
that's his salary.
Yearly.
Wow.
Yearly salary.
Guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. His yearly salary is $90 million. His net worth, as of right now, is $650 million.
That's how many millions?
That's a lot more millions than I have.
Me too.
So God bless him. And
that's a lot of baloney.
Ex-wife and his new wife and all of his kids. And
did you ever find out the name of that Colorado DJ, Steve something?
Steve Kelly? Yeah.
So he used to throw turkeys off of buildings. And I don't think it's the same.
Not real turkeys.
No, not real turkeys.
No, like... They were real turkeys. They weren't alive.
Yeah, they were the frozen
turkeys to see how far they would go on Thanksgiving.
So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's more dangerous for the live turkey.
Yes.
He did all kinds of silly stunts, though.
Yeah, he was a pole sitter.
Well, and it was kind of funny because he did those where he'd sit up inside of a cardboard.
A billboard. Yes.
And then... along comes Willie B, and he started doing a bunch of that type of stuff. But his was like to help the homeless and stuff. He would stay outside.
They raised money.
Yeah, for a certain amount of days. Yeah. We'd always go do the BPI food drive, when they did the canned foods. We did that every year. That was a fun one to do.
Drive turkeys.
So when I was Googling the Kim thing, KIMN, which was a big radio station back in the 80s, you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I got this disc jockey, Royce Johnson, almost made Kim lose their license because people were saying that the show should be revoked for certain programming materials presented by the broadcaster. The action came in a brief routine FCC announcement, but commission officials explained that it grew out of the claims that KIMN disc jockey Royce Johnson had made off-color suggestion comments on his show. It doesn't say what they were, though. So I don't think that ever happened because I don't remember it ever going off the air for that.
Maybe he just farted a lot.
I think he said that and promised to ensure that similar incidents will not again occur so long as I am responsible for the station. Okay.
Well, scandal.
But anyways, that is our true crime DJ segment.
Did you have any more?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Did you?
I just found one. I've never heard of this guy, but this is a sad one. This guy's name was DJ Credo, accused of killing his 3-year-old son, pled guilty to aggressive manslaughter and ahead of retrial. So they had tried him, and they found it was a hung jury. Uh-huh. So then they retried him on it. But it says here that David DJ Credo suffocated his 3-year-old son and left his body in a wooded area next to Camden County, New Jersey, neighborhood in 2015.
Man, that's depressing.
And he pled, he says, according to the plea deal announcement on Wednesday, Credo, 24, was facing a September retrial after the failed trial convicted him murder in charge of the death of his son.
And was his biological son?
Yeah.
Dude, I see 3-year-olds in the store all the time. I'd happily do something like that, but your own kid.
Yeah, you can't do your own kid. You just have to kill other people's.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
DJ Credo, I hope you suck it.
Yeah, hopefully somebody's playing DJ with you.
And he's so
young.
In
the big house.
Yeah, he just ruined his life.
Yep.
And that poor kid's mother.
Yeah, 3 years old, man.
God damn it. Criminal DJs suck. Don't do it.
Yes.
DJ, be a nice guy.
Yeah. That's Daryl's name.
That's right.
DJ, be a nice guy.
Yeah.
DJ Good Deeds.
Yep.
With
I love
two
ends.
Sweet.
Hey, should we come back with a, what is it now?
Witch-a-wow?
It's Witch-a-wow. The Witch-a-wow. Yes. Wow. All righty. We'll be right back.
And in just one breath he said, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl.
It's time for the wow. Your witches are doing it now. With talk about music, pets, and stupid criminals, this is the wow.
All right, guys, you know what the song just said. What time is it? It's time for the wow. So which one of you ladies would like to go first?
I'll go.
Okay, Shell.
You want me to go?
Give it a shot.
I'm going to go. So I have animals this week. I want to talk about animals. I think Lisa touched on this before in previous seasons when she had animals every week. But I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to do a deep dive from a different source, mostly because it's largely opinion-based. It's going to be a little bit different. Okay, so this is the 20 cutest animals in the world.
Oh.
And their criteria, most animals are cute because of their large eyes, mm-hmm. small noses, their little snoots, round faces, a small body, which takes my manatee out of it, and then petting furry animals... Animals with fur releases serotonin and dopamine. So it gives you good feelings. So the dog's happy and you're happy. I'm petting my shoulders right now. It feels nice. Okay, so you can guess if you want, but I'm just going to give you the list.
Can we just guess what number one is?
Sure.
Penguin.
Bunny rabbit.
Okay. Rabbit is on here and penguin. So I'll give you the other 18.
Okay.
Very
impressive. Where do they sit?
Rabbit was... Number 6.
Okay.
And penguin was number 8.
Okay.
Ooh, 68.
Yeah, 69. So you guys are very good at that. Yeah, it's like really sexy, but almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the quokka, the one in the memes all the time with the little bucky teeth.
Quokka.
Oh.
I'll send you a quokka.
Thanks.
A slow loris, L-O-R-I-S. A seal.
They're so cute. Seals are cute.
Mm-hmm. So cute. A gecko, which sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Something I sent you this morning with little Wimpy, the mini pig.
Yes.
Mini pigs. A flying lemur, something very popular right now in fashion and other things. Sloth. A pufferfish, which...
Pufferfishes. I think they're cute.
Edible.
That's
no.
Certainly not.
Yeah.
Panda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cute.
Koala. I've heard they're dicks, but they're very cute.
Chlamydia koalas.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. And a fennec fox, F-E-N-N-E-C. Mm-hmm. They're those little baby foxes with the big pointy ears.
Oh, yeah.
Their ears are as big as their head.
What did he say?
What did the
fox say?
He
was finicky.
A hedgehog.
Oh, yeah, hedgehog. Hold him in your hand.
A red panda.
Yeah.
A chinchilla.
Oh.
A sea otter, of course. Mm-hmm. A sugar glider.
Oh, sugar gliders are cute.
Guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And number one was the pygmy marmoset.
Dog's not on there?
No. The little 6-inch pygmy marmoset, you know, the little baby monkey.
Oh,
like those guys.
It wraps his little arms around your thumb.
Yeah.
We make like great pets.
They make great pets.
Yeah.
Great pets.
I think they didn't go dog because there's so many different breeds.
It's that's true.
That's true.
It's a different list.
It's a different dog list.
These are non-domestic animals.
You want me to go?
Sure.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. I have Stupid Criminals this week, which Woo! I love. And this this little ditty's called The Lowest High There Is. And for a trio of drug thieves, it was their lucky day. They broke into a home in Silverstone Springs, Florida, and discovered 3 jars of cocaine.
Cocaine.
So much cocaine.
3 jars of it. They took it home and snorted the contents. That's when they discovered that the jars were flat. Jars were in fact urns that were snorted. That they snorted the cremations of her husband, of the ladies that they robbed, husband and 2 of her dogs.
That is gross.
Yeah, I felt like we've already talked about that.
Maybe a lot of people do it.
Maybe.
Everybody's doing it,
Karen's house got robbed.
Taking your husband and...
and snorting him.
You would think in criminal school they'd be just like, if it looks like...
We did mention, though, when K-Ron got robbed and they stole...
poor little Colleen's ashes.
Colleen's ashes, but she's probably... Ah!
She
would have laughed her ass off.
Cool. She'd be their booger sugar.
Okay, so speaking of true crime...
Yeah.
Mine is about, it's music.
Yeah.
And these are musicians who died in a really crazy way.
Oh, fun.
Okay.
Not fun for them.
Not fun for them, but really interesting nonetheless. Mm. These were the ones that I thought was the...
top 10?
The most interesting.
Okay.
Keith Relf, he was... the lead singer and harmonica player for the Yardbirds, which was a band that spawned the careers of Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page. He died being electrocuted while playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Oh. On stage.
On stage. In a bizarre, it says, in a bizarre incident at his home.
Oh.
Yeah. Still terrible.
And that was in 1976.
Zippity zippity.
Okay, then there was Steve Took, T-O-O-K, or Took, as you might say. He choked on a cocktail cherry.
Oh, man, was he trying to tie it with his tongue?
I don't know. He was in the duo Tyrannosaurus Rex, and he then was pushed to perform his own material. He died on October 27th, 1980 from asphyxiation after choking on a cocktail cherry.
Man, they're so little.
Yeah, though he and his girlfriend had ingested both morphine and hallucinogens the night before, they refused to rule that as a contribution to his death.
It's kind of an additional element.
You would think. Terry Kath, K-A-T-H, accidentally shot himself. He was the founding member of and lead guitarist of Chicago. And he was also a singer and played lots of instruments. He sang on the tracks Color My World and Make Me Smile. He had a history of drug and alcohol problems, but died at a party at a crew member's house on January 23rd, 1978, while fooling around with a gun. He picked up an unloaded .38 revolver and put it to his head and pulled the trigger.
I remember this story.
And, yeah, so another guy did. Well, no, first he picked up that one and was like, ha, 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 that's hilarious. And then he did the same thing with a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. And that, unfortunately, was...
That one wasn't blank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, that is the rudest house guest I've ever heard of.
That, seriously. Yeah, it becomes a crime scene.
We're playing with my shit.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a couple more. Mike Edwards, he was in Electric Light Orchestra. He died. He was killed by a hay bale.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he studied cello before he went there. And... on September 3rd, 2010, at a road near his home in Devon, when a bale of hay weighing 1,300 pounds rolled down the hillside and collided with his van.
Oh, Jesus.
Dang.
Yes, that is unfortunate and very weird. Les Harvey was electrocuted during a concert.
That's who it was.
Yeah, he was...
Grounded out.
Yeah, he was... Blah, blah, blah. What was he in? A band called Stone the Crows. He died on stage in front of 1,000 fans on May 3rd, 1972, when he was electrocuted while turning up for a show in Wales. And, yeah, it was bad. And he was 27, and the group broke up a short time later. That is very sad.
So sad.
But interesting, and there you have it.
Could you imagine being in the audience? You would think it wasn't real.
Well it, that's it was, like the Dimebag Darrell thing, or whatever, when somebody came
and murdered him on
stage. Which is horrible.
Yeah, the guy, that's funny you should say that one, because I read it, and he... They have their roadies that set up everything. Mm-hmm. Well, it was all set up stuff. He plugged in and everything, and it was grounded wrong. They had things set up wrong. So when he first strummed it, he electrocuted him.
Good Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
Well, R.I.P.
There are worse ways to go, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, died doing what they love, but still, they probably weren't very old.
No.
And, you know, another one that did it, it didn't kill him, but he wrote a song about it, was Ace Frehley. Had the same thing happen. Mm. So that's why he wrote the song Shock Me. Because he played guitar in it. Yeah.
Was that the inspiration for Kicks Blow My Fuse?
Oh, yeah. My fuse!
Such a you guys are great singers.
Oh, my God. We're really, really good.
We really are.
We're thinking about starting a band.
Yeah.
We're done with this podcast stuff. Perfect. We're going to move on to bigger and better things.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that the podcast is over, guys. listen to Shelley and Daryl's new album. And also, so you can get more stuff before you're just not, done with it. Join Patreon so you can see all the things in the back and the forth.
Yep, on video. Every episode we're filmed live.
Yeah.
You get all the behind-the-scenes hijinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs.
And then how we get ideas for other shows, perhaps like Electrocuted Musicians show.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Uh-huh.
We've been working on that
that's
one
a
for
shocker.
A while.
Yeah,
it's a shocker.
Yeah, for sure.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, hey. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming down for our... semi-fleshed out show about DJs and radio hosts. I thought it was a hoot.
Yeah.
Very
and
nice.
Also kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
A little bit. Also, go to our Facebook group for Interactive Fair. You can ask questions. You can say what you like, what you don't like. We'll listen or we won't listen. And you can make friends with other fans.
Can I say something?
Yeah, but can I make fun of you right after?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is good. This is good. So our little Santa Witch, he always writes in every Wednesday, wishes us a good Wednesday, show Witchy Wednesday and everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. Today, he gave me a little bit of a shout-out.
Yeah.
He said, stay man witchy.
He did. Yeah.
Stay man witchy. So yeah. I was like, thank you. Thank you, buddy.
If you're famous with Little Santa, you're famous worldwide.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. His influence goes far and wide.
I got that.
Millions of followers.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.
You rascal.
I got electrocuted.
Stacks wax.
And six ZJ checks. And yeah.